You know something? I'm going to make some more enemies, I suppose. You know why I wasn't on the Capitol steps today trying to get them to pass that prayer amendment? When will the church quit straining out gnats and letting camels go down their gullet without even knowing it? How many people in my presence are a Christian today because you prayed at one of those school prayers? And how many of you have had your spiritual life permanently affected by that event? Some of the very same people standing there doing their gyrations, trying to get TV coverage and political mileage and evangelical leadership corners, secretly rejoiced and did nothing while a federal bureaucracy crucified a church of 35 years that has led the fight of freedom for the last 9 years for every church and religion in America. You know, it's such a piddling gnat alongside other things. In the first place, Jesus said, when you pray, go into a closet and lock the door. Don't do it on the street corners like the Pharisees to pray to be seen of men, but rather go into a closet and lock the door and have communion with your Heavenly Father. Now, if the prayer amendment passed, I want to know if they're going to include in it a sentence that requires the schools to build closets. Oh, I know. I'm going to offend some people that don't want to be spiritual and raise their kids loving God and learning how to pray, just want it delegated. Now, there are a few honest people that have the idea. They don't really care whether anybody prays or not. They just don't like to be told they can't. Well, just many people that don't like to be told that it has to be done. Now, there are a few idiots running around who know nothing about American history. There's one running for president. He said, this is a country where a majority vote counts. That is not true. Never has been true, and this country was never founded as a democracy, and somebody ought to teach these blamed idiots running for the presidency how to read a history book. This was not a democracy, it was a republic. If you want to change it, change it, but don't rewrite history and reveal your ignorance and tell me it's always been a democracy. It never was. It was a republic. Now, don't ask me to explain that to a couple of presidential candidates who don't know the difference. Why do you think the Electoral College was set up? Now, I'm not taking sides. I haven't revealed whether I prefer republic or democracy. I just am against ignorance. It never was a democracy. Ever. Have you ever heard some of the prayers at national political conventions? I wish they'd invite me to pray at one of them. I mean, tell you, it'd probably be the last prayer that's ever uttered at one of those places. I'm just sitting here relishing the prayer. I mean, I conceived of three or four just while I was sitting here. The more I think about it, the better I like the idea. I have heard a few prayers in the Senate. Boy, they're doozaroozies. What has happened today is proof positive that Antichrist will have little trouble taking over. All he's got to do is find some political lackey to drum up an insignificant issue to get them all in front of cameras making much noise and bedlam while he goes around as he's always done as the sneaking deceiver and does his real damage and cuts the innards out of the church. Pass a constitutional amendment that puts any bureaucratic agency and any employee thereof that participates and any judge who sits on a bench in jail for 2,472 years, 9 hours, 10 minutes, and 42 seconds if they ever so much as even ask to see individual donation records of a church. Now, that would be an issue. Add another 1,000 years to their jail sentence if they ask for a list of members of any church. You will prolong Antichrist taking over by keeping the names of the saints out of the computers of government another 10 years. By that one move alone. And get churches to excommunicate the next preacher that says we have nothing to hide because he's obviously had the wrong end in the air so long he's lost any sensitivity to hiding anything. When you think with your bottom and stand on your head and sail like you're standing upright and don't know the difference, you lose all sensitivity about hiding anything. Of course, when you sit on your brain, you can't think well anyway, so... You say, don't you believe in prayer? More than a lot of those idiots standing on the steps. And frankly, considering the results they got, I'm not too sure I believe in their prayers either. I mean, if there has ever been a proof in the non-efficacy of prayer, it's that praying bunch that didn't get the prayer amendment passed. And if I had cancer, they're the last people I'd want to pray for me. I mean, they ought to start a new church, First Church of the Prayer Losers. Big deal. How many people will never have your kids pray again because of that loss today? You see, it's things like that that make the church look foolish in the eyes of God. If prayer is so effective, pray the present Supreme Court out. In fact, I'll bet you a dollar Edmund Meese would vote for the prayer amendment. Secret loans, though. He don't want an amendment against that. Amazing grace. I just cannot fly with the traditional church. They are forever swatting at gnats and swallowing camels, vaunting their filthy rags of self-righteousness, and putting any voice of freedom and truth down because it makes them nervous. I read messages like this of lives that have been turned off on the church, turned around. But do you know that the established church would rather have these people go to hell, never turn around, and watch nothing but filth and corruption and violence on TV rather than have somebody like me shake their established mold? Pastors do not want to answer the questions on Sunday asked by their saints that I've asked during the week. With rare exceptions, Reformation men. This man is shaking our established traditions. Where'd they come from? I don't know. They won't say that. They don't. How many of you know that the Protestant church is but a stepchild of the Roman Catholic church? I mean, let me really get on some toes for a while. 99% of American Christianity thinks there was the New Testament church, the Roman Catholic church, and then we Protestants. Do you know what the first council of the church was all about? I'm about to Constantine in my English history. The Arian controversy. Arius, Brother Arius, had a doctrine about Jesus. And Constantine called a church council. And the Nicene Creed was developed. And the council was a bunch of preachers, bishops, who came together from a community of churches, all of whom claimed apostolic succession because all had been founded by the apostles. That was followed by a second council that refined the doctrines about Christ and his nature. How much of him was God and how much of him was man, and when was he man and when was he God, and when was he both, and what was the nature of both of them? 7 successive councils followed, including the 7th which settled the doctrine of icons. About every person the sound of my voice knows what an iconoclast is. He breaks traditions. I'm iconoclastic. I break things. Well, icons were representations of saints and Jesus and apostles. And these icons, people came in, bowed down in front of them. The enemies of the icons and the icon worshipers said they were engaged in idolatry. They said no, particularly John of Damascus, who wrote one of the most profound descriptions of the reality of their worship. And it involved all the controversies that the councils had debated over. What is the nature of God in Christ, the incarnation? Is he holy God, part man, sometimes God, sometimes man? Did Mary bear God and man, or only the man side of Christ? All those have been debated in the various councils. Most Catholics have no idea who stood on which side. They know nothing of the Nestorian controversy and the Nestorian Christians that split off early and were scattered across Persia. They know nothing of the Coptic Church. Each one of those councils named somebody a heretic and others right. The doctrine of the Trinity took shape. John argued and others that icons were but representations of what God did with matter. Though you couldn't reproduce God, therefore the ancient Jewish idea of no image of God could be worshipped changes with the incarnation because God moved into flesh and sanctified it. Therefore, it was okay to have an image of what God had sanctified in the material world because you are letting that, as Christ's own incarnation was a foci of the attention through him you look to God, these icons take the same. It's pretty hard to argue with that logic, if you understand it. Now, I like icons because they're among the world's best investments. That's the old practical side of me. In fact, the Jews learned that years ago. And when they fled Russia, or when they fled places, they'd take icons. Those were bearer bonds, could be turned into money. But the Seventh Council won out against the iconoclasts. The iconoclasts broke and destroyed and ripped the icons. And it became a generic word for anybody who rips the traditions and the images and the substitutes for God. The Greek church, the Orthodox church, it moves north to the Slavs and to Russia. The Russian Orthodox Church is part of it. The Orthodox Church, as some would call it, they consider themselves the true church. But of course, the Nestorians who left first consider themselves the true church. The Coptic Church, who lost one of the debates, considers themselves the true church. Now, the Orthodox Church of the East says, it is the true church because the church in seven total general councils involving all the church, including Rome, that they recognize the primacy of, but not a supremacy of, produced the first seven doctrinal council statements. Then come lots of things. The Islamic defeat, and the conquering of Constantinople and some of the ancient sees, the patriarchal churches of Antioch and Jerusalem. The Fourth Crusade, where the Christian crusaders were worse on the Christians, putting prostitutes on the altar of the great church at Constantinople. And the Eastern Christians remembered the Crusaders from the Latin Church as being more evil than the Muslims themselves. And the politicizing of the Western Church and the addition of two doctrines in a Western council that did not include all of the ancient patriarchal churches. There were five. Rome was one of the five. And a Western church council that these Eastern patriarchs did not participate in, thereby a part of the church making a decision instead of the whole church, as the first seven councils decreed it, decided two doctrinal things. The supremacy of the Pope at Rome, not just the primacy, first among equals, but rather the supremacy, absolute overlord. And second, the addition of a little word in Latin, filioque, to the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed was worked out by all the church, all the ancient patriarchal seas were represented. The Western Church added one phrase to the Nicene Creed, which means it took a creed developed by the whole church, and a part of the Western Church added a sentence and changed that creed. And the sentence simply said the Holy Spirit emanated not from the Father, but from the Father and the Son. And it's the Latin word "and the Son" that separated them. That's the doctrinal basis that has separated the Eastern and Western branches of the church. And the Orthodox Church of the East, sometimes called by us the Greek Orthodox, continued to develop on the foundation of doctrinal creeds developed in the first seven councils, while the Western Church took its development with councils of its own. And as the Crusaders would come back to the East, as said, they persecuted the Christians of the Eastern Church, established Latin episcopates, and furthered the breach. The Reformation only reformed the Western stream of the church. That's why I say we Protestants are stepchildren of the Roman church. How many Sunday school students with a 4-6-point system growing up in the church are ready to say in the political morass of the Middle Ages, every one of those church councils had men equal to Paul and Peter and James and John to decree our doctrines? I ain't. The reason that I lost my faith is nobody prepared me for this knowledge. God came down there and he just grabbed hold of people and wrote the Word of God. I mean, with Moses, he wrote it on stone. By the time he got around to the King James, he had paper. God advanced the ways. And I'm in the business of turning on light and letting people find out God will survive and your faith will grow stronger when you can see and distinguish between the traditions and the truth that is in God. I don't compromise anything. I just strengthen it by carving the adornments away and finding the beef. And comfortable preachers that might have to give up their golf game to research the answers to the questions I'm raising would rather have me go away. No, thank you. I'm staying. I'm staying on my satellite. My Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There is nothing more dangerous in this world. Well, it used to be said, nothing more dangerous than an ignorant man. One degree beyond that is an ignorant Christian. There is nothing as bad as an ignorant Christian. They actually are dumb enough to think God has picked them to make the rest of the world stupid. The church lost nothing today. I just wish the church, but they won't. I may wake up some in the church, would get concerned about what's really happened in this country. Kids praying in the school, we're not going to stand or fall on that. But if we don't stop government encroachments into religious freedom, then there's going to be no church.